shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
Nick over there, how you doing? Looks like a Spider-Man or something, huh? He dressed like Spider-Man, isn't he?
Yeah, he does look like Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. With that mask.
With a mask? Yeah. I'm looking at the
colors on his shirt. Yeah.
Not that I've ever seen Spider-Man, but he looks like a spider.
You're pretty good. That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Okay. Boy, let's pray.
Yes.
We can't lose if we're going to pray.
It's a good, Does that make any sense?
We've been just going nonstop, and there's a point where you don't want to even talk. You know, it's just like my mind's not even.
We're gonna get you through.
Seems like we do this anyway. So, let's pray, and then we'll see if we can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I do have a little story here, so we'll share that with you. It's kind of interesting. On trust, I think it would be on trust. I'll let you determine that. So, anyway, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O greatly merciful God, infinite goodness, today all mankind calls out from the abyss of its misery to your mercy, to your compassion, O God, and it is with its mighty voice of misery that it cries out, gracious God, do not reject the prayer of this earth's exiles. O Lord, goodness beyond our understanding, who are acquainted with our misery through and through, and know that by our own power we cannot ascend to you, we implore you, anticipate us with your grace and keep on increasing your mercy in us, that we may faithfully do your holy will, and through our life, and at death's hour. Let the omnipotence of your mercy shield us from the darts of our salvation's enemies, that we may with confidence, as your children, await your final coming, that day known to you alone, and we expect to obtain everything promised us by Jesus, in spite of all our wretchedness. For Jesus, he is our hope. Through his merciful heart, as through an open gate, we pass through to heaven. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we should ask today as well, Saint Toribio, Toribio de Mogrovejo. What a time. This is going to be a tough hour. We have just been going nonstop. And I think people relate to that because it's the way life is today, right?
But yeah.
We've been going nonstop. I was just talking to Sylvia and Frank, both in the office. And it's like, it feels like we all feel like we're going to crash. It's just... But it's hard, I'm coming on the radio and I don't even want to talk. And even to try to make a straight sentence, which has always been my issue anyway. But here we are. So how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
It could be better, but I'm all right. This is my kind of day.
All right. Yeah, it's a dark day and it's a little rainy and,
Yeah, I like it like this.
Yeah. We must bring people into Great Depression.
Well, you have to be real. I mean, there's people that, again, I'm not for sugarcoating things. I mean, when people feel bad, sometimes they feel bad. You know, it's good to be around, I always hear this a lot. Oh, here's this guy. He's a downer. He brings me down.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes, we need people around us. So it's like even when some of us, we put up good acts that, people have different things going on in their lives, and it's good to be around people. It's like-minded.
I was talking to I'm doing the confirmation class as well. So I want to meet with them every Wednesday, even until the end of the year. These are the eighth graders, and so yesterday we had our class. We've finished all the confessions for all the students and. Then I had the confirmation class, and then we had the last of the first confessions. So, and then of course, the regular confessions of the adults and the mass. So it's been nonstop. And but I was with the confirmandi. I went back to the gospel because it really, the gospel we talked about on Sunday, on Tuesday from Sunday, the healing of the blind man, how Jesus had smeared his saliva with the clay and made kind of like an anointment and rubbed it into the eyes of the man, told him to go and swim in the pool of Siloam, and he regained his sight. Now how he was harassed, Jesus, and he left, and because it happened on the Sabbath, the Pharisees were harassing the man, and really this is all it's all an attempt to find a way to get rid of Jesus, right? He's a threat to the regime or to the powers to be, calling them to conversion and repentance and so anyway, but it was later when Jesus found out, when he heard that this man was being harassed, and they were really harassing him, and Jesus came back, and all he said is, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he says, what did he say? He said, "Who is he, sir, that I might believe?" And he said, "Well, the one speaking to you is he." And the blind man said, "I do believe." And he adored him. So the gospel says he adored him. So it was really appropriate for the kids because they picked it up right away. I shared the story, and, you know, how does this relate to, you know, your baptism, and now you're going to be making your confirmation. But speaking to them about this idea of harassment, right, how life is a harassing experience. And so that they get the point of this man being healed and told to wash in the pool of Siloam. They kind of made a connection between that and their baptism. But now as confirmation comes, you know, it's, so the question, do you believe? Because as babies, you know, we're, and I asked them, why do we baptize babies, infants? And, of course, they didn't, I don't know that they really answered the question, but, you know, I posed the question, did you choose your parents? Did you make that choice? And did anybody here choose their parents? And, nobody chooses their parents. I says, and so God, you know, actually God chose you. And so now for confirmation, and then, of course, we talk about the whole thing of being cleansed of original sin, but yet we're suffering the effect of original sin. Going back to your point that, you know, we're not in La La Land, or we're in reality, and reality can be very hurtful in a wide variety of ways. I mentioned to them, you know, just getting out of bed in the morning could be the first suffering of the day. As it was
first
for me
sacrifice.
Today, yeah, for a suffering and sacrifice is a suffering, right? But today it really was.
People
for me.
Don't look at it that way. It's
no.
Like, but it's a sacrifice,
right? Exactly. We talked about, you know, the different. Like they're going to be doing this work on the Kennedy Expressway, so people are going to have to be prepared for 3 years.
Exactly.
Making the determination that they're going to be patient because, or they're going to just, you know, be throwing tantrums as they're trying to
like I do.
Get into the city. that's right, because you come down the expressway?
Well, yeah, I used it, but I actually, more so now, I try not to use, you know.
Yeah.
But for me, it would be a sacrifice to get out of the house, you know, at least a half an hour earlier, because I could take the streets, but then it would take longer.
But do you come on the express?
I come on the express.
Yeah, so that's going to be they've started. I don't know what it's.
But it seems that everywhere there's some kind of construction going on all the time.
All over the place, you know, really.
This is like you sit, and I mean, even one of the streets I take coming in here is always jammed up. So I've gone a different way. And people do know how to go the different ways.
Yeah, right.
But then everyone's going that way, so they become jammed again.
Yeah, you find these little...
Shortcuts,
and then everybody else finds them. And then before you know it, they're no longer shortcuts.
Yes.
I heard this morning that it was an hour and 30 minutes from O'Hare to the... To our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And because we're right off the downtown, mm-hmm. I mean right off the Loop area of Chicago, right. In the center, and I was thinking the my flight. So when I come back from Rochester, mm-hmm. I'll spend more time on the Kennedy Expressway than I spend on the plane.
Welcome to a lot of people's world.
Right. So it's unreal. But anyway, we got to get psyched up for that. But that's so. Those are these are mm-hmm. the little harassments that we have to deal with. But and then there's big ones, And I was sharing the story because the point is, I wanted to impress upon them the why, which I think we talked about on Tuesday. But the why of going to Mass, because we are in a sense we're being harassed. In a wide variety of ways. Again, there's the attack to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit that comes every day. I ask them the question, as I would ask many people, has there ever been a day when you haven't suffered something, right? So I say this all the time on the radio. And of course, you got to think about that. Yeah, that's true. So we're not condemned to be here forever. We're in the exile. As we prayed in the one prayer there, but we come to Mass. So it's the law is enacted that we go to Mass on Sundays at least, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. That's our Sabbath, our day of rest, and so that we because we've been harassed, and so it's Jesus who wants to encounter us, and he who recognizes our need for him, whether we recognize it or not, lest we forget who we are and what's expected of us and how to survive as we make our way through life. But I shared with them the death of Veronica and Gustavo. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And they were really moved by this, I think. I was moved by it as I was telling the story. And the reason why I did it was because just the night before, the gospel happened to be another healing where Jesus went to a man who was crippled and couldn't get to, this was in Bethesda, and there was these healing waters. And for 38 years, he had been there. Nobody took him to the waters. Nobody could never get to the water. I guess at whatever point the waters stir, there was healing power there, or healing, this capacity for healing. Mm-hmm. But he could never get over there. Jesus, finally, the bottom line was Jesus just said, pick up your mat and walk. Just pick up your mat. And walk. He healed him right there on the spot. And when I heard that reading, it took me back to the death of Veronica and Gustavo. And I shared it with the students, these eighth graders. And then I wondered later, was that too hard for them to hear? Mm-hmm. But that's reality, you see.
Exactly.
And even asking the question is a bit foolish, right? Because you think of what these, what the kids are watching today anyway. But anyway, just to share the story. So I had shared it the night before because we had read the gospel, and it was that gospel. And so Veronica had been a very beautiful young woman. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do.
Beautiful young woman in her early 20s, and she... had been diagnosed with stomach cancer. This was so, it could have been, I don't know how long ago that was.
It feels like yesterday. Yeah. But it's been a few years.
It's been more than a few years. But anyway, so she was...
5 or 6 years? Maybe
no, I
more.
Think it's more than that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not, I really don't know.
Yeah, it's hard.
I've completely lost track of time. I don't know if I said, but, you know, so some of these, I had these first confessions. Mm-hmm. And so again, yesterday, one of the mothers said, you know, you had my first confession as well. last week, it was the same thing. I had, right. I think, two or three parents who said, you know, you had my first confession.
And that's when you start thinking, oh, yeah, that was about 5 years ago. And no, it was a lot more.
Well, I can't, it doesn't compute in my head that, you know, how time flies.
It does.
But anyway, so she was diagnosed at the same time. Gustavo was diagnosed with brain cancer, and so they would come into the sacristy after the mass. They would come to the 5:30 mass at in the evening. Now the Carlos family, they prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day, very religious. And in fact, Gustavo's nieces and nephews, because he's the youngest in the family. Mm-hmm. He was nine years old when he was diagnosed. But I've had all their weddings, and the kids go to our school. Their kids. So his nieces and nephews, you know, or nieces, I think they're all girls. But anyway, so they were both diagnosed at the same time. And so they would always come after the end of the sacristy, and I would pray for them, and they would pray for each other. So they were always praying for each other.
That is beautiful when you think of.
Yeah, and they were both troopers. I mean, they carried themselves gracefully through this, and this 9 year old and this young woman in her early 20s. But so 2 years, I was called to the hospital. This 2 years later, and she was, you know, it was obvious that she was, I mean, she looked like she was really right there at the door of death, and the whole family was gathered there, and I anointed her, and we prayed, and then I left. I had to get back over here, and then I went back around the noon hour, and she was sitting up in the bed. She was just her mother and Veronica, and she was eating a hamburger, and she was drinking Tang. She liked Tang. And we had a wonderful conversation. She was very happy, just extremely happy. It was like a resurrection, you know. I just thought, wow, what a contrast from just earlier in the morning. And so as I was leaving, there was a nurse and a social worker and a chaplain, and they said, as I'm leaving the room, they said, oh, it's good that you're here, being a priest, because we've got to tell Veronica that she's not to come to the hospital. She's in hospice. And when she gets sick, she's not to come to the hospital. She had come, she was really sick the day before and came to the hospital, but it was in hospice care at home. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to she's got to understand that she's not to come to the hospital. That sounds very cold, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. And it really felt that way to me. And I thought, you know, she's right. I said, you know, right now she's doing really well. She's very happy. You know, I don't think you want to bring
her down that way.
Bring her down, yeah. And so I went in with them, and they said, but this is what it was. It was just, Veronica, do you understand that you're in hospice? And she kind of nodded, and she said, you don't come to the hospital. You're in hospice. Do you understand that? You don't come to the hospital. And then they said, one of them, I don't know who said this, said, just, you know, you stay at home, in a week or sooner than later. I don't remember what the timeline was,
so
but
how
it was
do you
soon.
Say something like that.
You're going to just shut your eyes. You're going to go to sleep, and you're not going to wake up. Do you understand? And you don't come to the hospital. I mean that. And then they left. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was and
stuck.
You could see the terror in her eyes.
Yeah.
And she just, and as they were talking to her and saying these things, she was looking at me. Then she was looking at her mother. She looked at me. She looked at her mother. And when they left, her mom said, you know, Veronica, they don't know don't listen to them. And, you know, and she was just trying to, and I don't know what I said. I think I was in shock. I don't know what I said, because she had been being in such a good, happy space. And then all of a sudden this, and I remember her saying, I don't want to die. And, So anyway, I had left, and then it was actually probably 5 days later. I went to the home. It was just right over here, just a few blocks away. And she was, in fact, dying. And what was interesting is I spent the whole morning there with them. And I was at one point in the kitchen with the family, and they were debating on where to bury her. Bury her here in Chicago or bury her in Mexico. And, you know, I'm telling the kids this yesterday, the story, and which really caught their attention. And it was kind of reliving it myself, so yeah. I was very moved, even moved to tears as I'm sharing this, as I get to this point. And so, and then we were back in the room, and everybody, and then it was obvious that the time was coming. And she could, you know, she couldn't walk. She hadn't walked for a few days already, and could barely talk. She was just skin and bone. I mean, she just was so skeletal looking. And she asked her friend to write this down. She said, write what I tell you. Mm-hmm. And so her friend, and it was just, you know, you could barely hear Veronica, because it's just, she was at that point at the end of her journey. And she said, I had a dream, and Jesus came to me and said, Veronica, pick up your mat and walk. And then she said, you know, I'm going home. And then she added, my body, bury it in Mexico. Yeah. Now, she had no idea what was going on in the kitchen, you know. So it was kind of like that answered that
question.
Yeah. And then she died just shortly, just, you know, within 30 minutes after that, she died. Wow. But so we had that guy. Every time I hear the gospel, I think of that that dream that she had, and I do believe that God makes us ready. So interestingly then, 1 year later, on the Feast of the Divine Mercy, on the anniversary of Veronica's death, Gustavo died. And I just don't think that was coincidental.
No.
It was providential. And anyway, but, you know, I shared the story with the young people, the eighth graders. They were very tuned in. You know, how can you not be? But just to kind of put things in context, that, you know, we really, you know, when Jesus says, I mean, why is it this important, our faith in Christ, and that we're renewing our faith in Christ over and over and over and over again? Because we're being constantly harassed, or we get distracted by the things of this world, and we think we're going to be here forever. Now, that doesn't mean you don't enjoy life, or you don't. But it's like we have to live. We have to face reality.
Right.
And as I've mentioned many, many times, you know, the saints have always said, you know, if you keep death before you, you'll live a holy life. As Our Lady said to Saint Bernadette, or Jesus even said it in his own words, I can't promise you happiness in this life. In fact, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in this world, but have courage and be at peace. I've conquered the world. But to live in that, to live within that perspective, that reality, right? That reality. And because we are, and we know, you know, the young people today are really confused and really suffering. It's why the high rate of suicide is just astounding, you know. They're just up against so much, you know. And if we were collectively keeping the faith, then we wouldn't be living or wondering why, you know. Because the question is, why am I not happy? Well, you're not necessarily going to be happy.
Right.
Certain things make you happy, but that's often the question, that there's something wrong with me, you know. And these kids, you got to think about it too. And I guess it's always been, but with the technology and all that, they're the images that they have to deal with, They can't live up to these images.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot worse now than it was.
It is.
Or is. And that's funny. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, and I hate to seem, you know, it may seem, I don't know, when I think of being courageous, you know, I think of these kind of stories.
Yeah.
And when you hear it today, courageous means a little different. And I just wonder if people really, I mean, really understand or are just misled to think certain things are, you know, depending on, you know, the words you use. I mean, I wonder, I don't know if it's, I mean, how do you tell people of today, how do young people decide what is courageous?
Yeah, well, I think
someone goes through life and how they...
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these kids, you know, really when you think about it, again, I say, you know, they have a kind of suffering that we didn't have because there was a greater stability in the society. Mm-hmm. Families were together. Now, granted, there's always going to be problems.
Right.
That's why St. Paul says, never let the sun go down on your anger at the end of the day. You know, be reconciled so that nobody is deprived a night of peaceful rest. So there's always issues in families. I mean, I get that. That's just part of the human condition, you know. We're by nature somewhat selfish and egocentric, and so, you know, it's this constant dying to ourselves or losing ourselves, thinking not so much of ourselves but of others. In fact, I should have brought the Bible down with me, but I was reading from Scripture to them as well, and St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians basically says, you know, think rather not of yourself but of others, you know, live always thinking of others and doing for others. It's a really, really beautiful. And that's after the whole, you know, at the name of Jesus, all knees will bend. But they're up, you know, there's a lot of division in the families. I mean, broken families. To pretend that doesn't affect a child, you know, it's would be maybe a way of trying to justify the breakup of a marriage or the breakup of a family. Sometimes it's just inevitable, unfortunately, and that's where faith comes in, I think, you know, to help us help people get through. But these kids are up against a lot, and if we speak to them reality and see, this is, I think, again, the whole gospel message, which is a message of good news, for sure, and all the letters, the epistles, the whole of the Bible, the whole of our Catholic faith, it's dealt with in reality. And what is at the center? You actually mentioned the word, but sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It's the sacrifice God made of himself. You know, Jesus laid down his life, and before doing that, he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he laid down his life in order to atone for our sins, entered into our suffering. He made the ultimate sacrifice as a way to convince us of the love that he has for us and his mercy, and to convince us that there is a way out of our own darkness, a darkness we often create or make for ourselves or others. We're victims and perpetrators, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more victim, sometimes more perpetrator, but we all, you know, we're victims and perpetrators of the problems in the world. And that's something that I want the young people to understand as well. You know, it's, you know, we don't put the blame on God. No, but God didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer. And he who didn't sin, he became sin. As Scripture says, he became sin. He took our sins to himself. But so, you know, if somebody's, a young person's asking himself or herself, why am I not happy? Well, you're not going to, you know, we're in the exile. Mm-hmm. We're our happiness, our joy is knowing that that we've been created in the image and likeness of God, we've been redeemed, and the potter wants to mold the clay of your life, to purge and to transform and to sanctify you, to all of us. God sees the good in us. He wants to bring that good out of us, and we live in, unfortunately, in a world that is suffering the consequences of original sin. And so if we're not living in God, if we're not God-fearing people, if we have no regard for the commandments of God, and we're not living those commandments, then we're adding to the disorder that is inherent in the world. Rather than put the blame on God, or in other words, God needs to come into the picture, mm-hmm. right? God has to be in the picture, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ. And we then live in reality, and we're not surprised by the reality, and we suffer the reality, but not without hope, not without hope. And then we understand, I've said it many times on the radio, I tell them this, I think at every Mass, you know, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is make the sign of the cross, wrap yourself in the life of the Holy Trinity, and get into the work of life. Life is work. And you keep God at the center, keep God as a foundation. You know, Jesus said, the foolish people build on sand, the rain comes, the wind blows, and the house falls. The wise build on rock, the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house doesn't collapse. Can I say it again, that the only one who doesn't deceive us, I tell them that, the only one who will not deceive you is God, who has come to us in the flesh. God, and it's the same God, the God, as we were saying the other day, the God of the Old Testament, who comes to us, the incarnation, you know, the second person of the Trinity. It's the same God of the Old Testament, the same God 2,000 years later, who governs, or is the Lord of the Lord of the world. And if we acknowledge his lordship over us, then we have some semblance of civility and sanity and peace, but it means sacrifice on the part of all of us. Mm-hmm. As we experience what is now obvious, a great apostasy, a going away from the faith, that we create a vacuum, and in that vacuum comes all the demons, and all of the old heresies are revisiting, which are heresies, these untruths are taking hold of people's lives, and it's disastrous. It's not going to end well. And so what's the solution? Is to lean away from the dark and into the light, and that means to lean into Christ. Like John, to rest your head against the heart of Jesus and the heart of Our Lady, you know, and then we have the means to get by from one day to the next. And again, that's what Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. When tomorrow hasn't come, today has troubles enough of its own. So anyway, I shared that story with them, and I don't regret that I did, because I know they left thinking about that. Mm-hmm. It's not like I want to scare them or anything like that, but this is unfortunately...
This is the truth.
The truth, the reality. So mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
This is Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy and host of EWTN Radio's Open Line Tuesday. Heavenly Father, we ask that this Lenten season prove grace-filled for each one of us, allowing for a humble examination of self that is Christ-centered and which fosters a greater awareness and love for the three eminent good works of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, TNT, Tony, Nick, and Tony. No? Okay. Got a little story here. This is, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, huh? Maybe yes, maybe no.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
And this is a story of the Chinese farmer. Long ago, there was a widowed Chinese farmer. The farmer and his only son labored through the cold winds of winter and scorching rays of summer with their last remaining horse. They only had one more horse. One day, the son didn't lock the gate and the stable properly, and the horse bolted away. When neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What a sadness this is. Without your horse, you'll be unable to maintain the farm. What a failure that your son did not lock the gate properly. This is a great tragedy." And the farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no. The next day, the missing horse returned to the farmer's stable, bringing along with it 6 wild horses. The farmer's son locked the gate and the stable firmly behind all 7 horses. When the neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What happiness this brings. With 7 horses, you'll be able to maintain the farm with 3 of them and sell the rest for huge profits. What a blessing." The farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no. The next day, the farmer's son was breaking in one of the wild horses. The son got thrown from the horse, fell hard on rocks, and broke his leg. When neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What a great sadness this is. Now you'll be unable to count on your son's help. What a failure to break in the horse properly. What a tragedy. You'll be unable to count on the help of your son." And the farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no. The next day, a general from the Imperial Chinese Army arrived to conscript all the young men of the village into the army. Their assignment was to fight on the front lines of a battle against a terrifying enemy of overwhelming force. The farmer's son, because of his broken leg, was not taken. When the neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What a great joy. Your son avoided facing certain death on the front lines of the battle. What a blessing." And the farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no. So that's the story. So what do you think that's all about?
I don't know. I can't think right now because I'm thinking about something else that I think is the story, but instead of the maybe no, maybe yes, maybe no, it goes chickens come, chickens go.
Oh, I've never heard that. I've heard that, but I didn't.
Right. So I think it's a variation of this.
So let's see here. There are things that are within our power. Who writes it? Does this? I want to figure out who wrote this. Because the point is,
there is some trust. I think it is. I think the theme is trust. Or it's part of the theme.
So it has to do, you know, so the story of the farmer, the Chinese farmer, teaches us about a suspension of judgment regarding what actually is a tragedy or a triumph. Can we really always tell what is fortunate and what is unlucky? Maybe the wiser course of action often be to withhold judgment rather than definitively declare what happens as good or bad. There's a philosopher who, I don't know which philosopher this is, but he writes, there are things which are within our power, and there are things which are beyond our power. Within our power are opinion, aim, desire, aversion, and in one word, whatever affairs are our own. Beyond our power are body, property, reputation, office, and in one word, whatever are not properly our own affairs. Okay, you figure that out. As the First Lady Martha Washington said, I am determined to be cheerful and happy in whatever situation I may find myself, for I have learned that the greater part of our misery or unhappiness is determined not by our circumstance, but by our disposition. The farmer seems to have what is asked for in the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm going back to the First Lady Martha Washington. I am determined to be cheerful and happy in whatever situation I find myself in. That seems to contradict what I was saying before. We just can't find happiness, full happiness in this life. You know, there are certain things that we just have. I think of the, wish I had it with me, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Longfellow, was it Longfellow? Who wrote that? But it was, he had suffered all this tragedy, right. And kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, you know? I'm sure all the stories are a deviation against whatever is the real one. I've heard this in different, you know.
Have you heard this before?
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Okay. So the story teaches us about how what appears to be bad initially may ultimately be a blessing.
Yeah.
Haven't we all learned that from our own life experiences?
It's true.
Short-term thinking is not always 20/20. How often has something that seemed like a major setback or even a tragedy at first become the beginning of something great? Do we not often see only in hindsight that a difficulty was just what we needed to grow and flourish in the long term? A painful and challenging experiences often lead to development, especially when reframed as opportunities to learn to grow in skills, in virtues, and in bonds. There was an ancient Greek playwright, Aeschylus, who said, "He who learns must suffer, and even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, and in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom to us by the awful grace of God. Terrible suffering is a medicine so dangerous that it may only be rightfully employed by the divine physician." Something to think about, right? Perhaps, as you can tell, I'm reading from this article, who actually was written by this Dr. Christopher Kachor, who's chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Loyola Marymount University and the St. Thomas Aquinas Fellow for the Renewal of Catholic and Intellectual Life at the Word on Fire Institute. So he said, perhaps the story of the Chinese farmer teaches us about the complicated relationship between suffering and well-being. Sometimes what is indeed bad, breaking a leg, can lead to something good, avoiding death in battle. And yet what is bad remains bad, even if something good comes from it. It is always bad when an attempted murder takes place, yet in some cases an attempted murder leads to something good, like a serial killer finally getting arrested. Similarly, mm-hmm. what is good remains good, even if something bad comes from it. It is good for a husband and wife to have a child, even if years later it is bad that the child becomes a criminal. Well, interesting. The story of the Chinese farmer could also teach us something about what we ultimately consider good and evil amid the vicissitudes of the lesser goods and evils in life. For example, for people of faith, the ultimate good is enjoying perfect love, perfect goodness, and perfect beauty forever. This is called heaven. In the meantime, you know, that's what keeps us going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that we're pilgrims on the way. The ultimate evil is eternal self-willed loneliness, a heart forever divided against itself, a will ever frustrated in seeking the good. Anyway, it goes on into some stuff that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This is very philosophical.
Yeah, that's why I've heard this before.
Yeah, you've heard this.
Yeah. This is something that just really makes people think, which is good.
So the bottom line is, and this is what this is how he ends the article. He says that someday, will you and I enjoy the perfect happiness of the saints? Maybe yes, maybe no. It depends on how we live our lives. And it really brings us back to trust, right? You know, that's why we keep the cross before us, you know, because it's nobody can go through this life unscathed. But as he extrapolates from the story of the Chinese farmer, good. Or as Scripture says, good comes out of evil, light comes out of darkness, life comes out of death, for those who love God. Mm-hmm. If we keep God at the center, if we build on the foundation of His life. Again, I repeat what I had mentioned just a little bit earlier. Jesus said, in the world there are foolish people. Foolish people build their house on sand, and the rain comes and the wind blows, and the house, it collapses. There's no foundation. The wise, on the other hand, build on rock, and the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house doesn't collapse. It has a firm, rock-solid foundation, that foundation being God, the God from whom we come, to whom we go. God created us for Himself. God doesn't condemn us to be here forever in this rather precarious world we're living in. And I think as Americans today, even as Christians, because we were talking about this the other day, but we're the church militant, we're in the battle, and again, if we collectively speaking live our Judeo-Christian faith, then while we're still not going to go through this life unscathed, much of the suffering is mitigated, is lessened. Because we are together in the work of life, making similar sacrifices, right? Mm-hmm. So that before, let's just say, at a time when we know that mass attendance has plummeted, but if your whole neighborhood is going to mass, then you may not be a hardcore believer, or you might not be, in other words, it's kind of like, well, this is what we do, right? Mm-hmm. So something to be said for cultural Catholicism, this is This is who we are. This is what we do. This is what's expected of us. And maybe we don't put a lot of thought to it because we're just fulfilling expectations that it's like a sacrifice that we all make together. When that's threatened because people take it upon themselves to do their own thing, I'm gonna disregard the law and we seek not to nurture relationship with God, or boast of the fact that we don't believe in God, or we're going to recreate God in our image and likeness, or rewrite the laws of God to suit our proclivities, whatever they may be, then we add to the disorder. And so all of a sudden we're in a situation where you're the rare one that goes to Mass on Sunday, yeah, in a given neighborhood, or even maybe in a given family. Well, we see where's that going to take us? And by way of maybe conclusion, I'm maybe just all over the place, but it is interesting to think about these things. But I told the students, to get off TikTok. Now I'm not on TikTok. I don't, but I'll read articles and I'll see certain things that come via the internet. And yep. And I said, no wonder we've got so many problems, or these kids are so confused.
Some people live on TikTok.
They live on TikTok. What's very addictive, from what I understand, is all this stuff, is all this technology is. And the Chinese Communist Party owns TikTok. Is it the party that...
I believe it is.
Or at least they regulate TikTok. They regulate TikTok for themselves. In their country, in order to inculcate patriotism and use it as a means to educate people or to inspire in them a desire for education, but they don't regulate, nor do we regulate. That's really a debate that's going on right now in our nation, mm-hmm. because what do we allow on TikTok? And, some pretty dark stuff.
Yep.
It's like giving free rein to the flesh, and the flesh of its very nature will lust against the spirit. This is just one little example, but I was listening just the other day about the civility of our society is in free fall. There's a realism to saying that, because you see it. And how do we pull people back to the necessity of a life of discipline, obedience to the laws of God? Because again, as Moses said, God through Moses, these laws, you obey these laws, you keep these laws, you fulfill the law, you love the law. You prove yourselves then to be a wise, intelligent, knowledgeable, dignified, noble people. You'll be the envy of all nations. Where are we today in our nation as other nations look at us? It's something to think about.
I think of consequences.
Consequences.
Yep.
So anyway... Maybe yes, maybe no.
Chickens come, chickens go.
Yeah, right. So anyway, have a nice, good day, everybody. God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say? Makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.